I think it's funny because all of a sudden you see a rocket ship, and then all of a sudden you see a rhino. Like, what two things of those go together?
Hello and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores all the local businesses, shops, clubs, and pubs that you always pass by, but never seem to visit. I'm Joel Wayne. This is my co-host.
Lacey Daly. Hello.
Hello.
So, we're obviously doing a field trip today.
We are, yes.
But also, if you think about it. This is the end of season three, my friend.
I'm getting wistful.
It really just occurred to me as we turned the mics on.
Yeah.
Here we are.
I know. I will say this season, out of the seasons that we have done, this one feels like it has just absolutely flown by. You know, I know it ends up being the same amount of weeks.
It just gets quicker and quicker. It's like we're growing up, and you know, when you were younger and summers lasted forever, and now you're an adult and you're like, wait, summer what?
Those friends who have, you know, junior hires, you know, and they're like, oh my God, time slowed down.
Yeah.
And that's the way I feel, I guess, about this podcast.
Just growing up. Well, and I mean, we really haven't talked about a season four. I know that we've got plenty of ideas and field trips really kind of coming along this week even. Heck, I hope they let us.
Yeah.
We'll have to have that conversation.
Hope you all are interested in that.
Yeah, if you hear from us and it's not looking good, we'll send around a petition. You can sign your names and say, no, this needs to exist.
Yeah.
It needs to live on.
For sure.
Okay, well, I guess last order of business then. Where are we going?
Well, for today's field trip, for our exploration, we are going to Clio's Fairy Museum and Nature Trail.
I can't say I've heard of this one.
Yeah. This is something that I had heard about a couple years ago, and it's really hard to explain, you know. So I've looked it up, and I haven't done, you know, any deep research on it because we tried not to.
Right.
But it's one of the few kind of on our list that's listed by Atlas Obscura, which out of those different kind of outlets is probably closest to what the type of stuff that we're interested in. And if you see pictures of it, it's a really interesting place. It's private land.
Where is this?
This is outside Melba.
Oh, we're going on a little road trip.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's this nature trail, and it's kind of adorned or decorated by these art installation pieces, statues, signage. It's private land, but it's open publicly, and the pictures look really interesting. I know other people who have gone, acquaintances who have gone, and they're like, yeah, you should really check this place out.
Mm.
So yeah, we're meeting up. I reached out beforehand because I did want to, I don't think it's staffed normally or anything because it's just kind of a self-guided tour. So I reached out beforehand and asked if we could chat with someone. And so I think it's two children of the original kind of founder of this.
Well, that's cool.
Who we're going to talk to about it.
We can get some of the backstory.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we're also going to have, we have a friend who frequently takes her kids out there and they just kind of walk around. And I think she's going to kind of walk the loop with us with the kiddos as well.
That sounds great. I like it. I like a road trip for sure. I think we should swing by and get some sunscreen, but
yeah,
I'm more concerned about your central concern, which is?
I think my central concern really is, what's the story here? You know, is there kind of a central theme to it? Something that they're trying to, you know, with public art, and especially public art that's not just one piece, you know what I mean? Where you kind of see it and it's like, huh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your theme here? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the thing that connects all these things together? So,
will you be satisfied if the answer is no style? It's just random.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I absolutely am, because I think then it's kind of like, why not? You know, and you and I have said before, we're totally open to the why nots.
It's more you know? You, but yeah, go along.
Well, yeah,
just for the sake of this podcast. Yeah.
So I think that's it. And then I think the other part too, it's private land, but why make it available to the public like this then too?
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well,
should we do it?
Yeah, we'll take a break to get that sunscreen, then head out, hit the road.
Good idea. Good idea. LD, did you know that some of the most affordable homes in Boise were built in the 50s and 60s?
I did, actually.
Oh, Anyway, mid-century homes have been called the perfect homes for minimalists and people with a real sense of style.
Wait, who says that?
Well, I do, but I'm biased because I live in one.
Why are you telling our listeners this?
Because Mid-Century Homes by Monica Real Estate specializes in helping people buy and sell these homes. They also have a full suite of services to help mid-century homeowners perfect their homes.
And they're local, right?
Totally. So go visit mid-centuryhomes.com and make sure to mention that You Know the Place sent you.
Do it. So,
just pulled up. You kind of drive through a gas station there, a gas station parking lot.
Yeah, right before you would cross the Snake River.
Right, right. So we were a little bit lost, but we happened on the right area.
Yeah, I guess we never were lost, but we felt lost.
Yeah.
It wasn't clearly marked. So right. Yeah, if you're about to go over the Snake River, you would turn into the gas station parking lot and kind of follow the sign. What did it say? Museum?
Private road, museum parking only. Yeah.
And then you kind of...
Or visitors only.
It's Joel was getting excited on the ride down in because there were trinkets and signage.
Yeah, and like tricycles and like old boats and stuff that are all just like filled with weeds that are obviously a purposeful decoration. And then we're in this parking lot, this gravel parking lot, and there's kind of like a split rail fence all around the sides.
Oh.
And on each of the posts are birdhouses. And our friend Rachel and her three
kids. Oh my God, there's a peacock. It's a white peacock. Do you see it out through this window?
In the rearview mirror.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know there were going to be peacocks here.
So, yeah, very very odd. It seems like kind of like an oasis in the middle of kind of, you know, the high desert here.
Yeah.
So.
All right, we need to put some sunblock on.
Should we put some sunblock on?
And not keep our folks waiting?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's do it.
We lather up with sunscreen and meet up with my friend Rachel and her three kids, who she introduces to the podcast.
So this is Ira and Alma and Jasper.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
And this is Lacey. And you guys know Joel.
So you guys been here before?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is it cool?
Yeah.
Yeah? I got freaked out because I saw a peacock. Nobody told me there were going to be peacocks.
There are not just like one, there's like nine.
Oh.
And they're very comfortable around everyone.
Yes. So. They tried to steal Iris' cheese last time.
Oh.
Then we find Bruce, Betty, and Daniel Swain, son, daughter, and grandson, respectively, of Cleo Swain, the place's namesake and the person responsible for much of the site, along with her husband, Dr. Swain. Just to give an idea of the area, we're standing among a group of four or five buildings made out of stone and one of adobe. There's a house, a museum, a small chapel. It feels like an archaeological tour, even though, save for the adobe structure, the rest of the buildings were finished in the 50s and 60s.
So the whole site of 100 acres is in
62.
Is in a, whatever. Is in a family trust. And so Daniel's the oldest son of our oldest brother who's passed away, but he manages the site for us.
Oh, okay.
So when you need good information, we know the history, but we asked Daniel.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Going on.
At least about current operations, you mean, and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, starting with history then.
Okay.
What's the genesis of this place?
The California Gold Rush.
Okay.
1849.
Oh, wow, we're going back.
Yeah, that's when it started, and people came across the country by the Overland Trail, around the Cape, through the Isthmus of Panama.
Sure.
And then by the mid-1850s, the gold, California gold, that you could pick up off the street, which was mythical, didn't exist anymore.
Right.
So then they discovered silver in Nevada. So all the gold diggers ran in Nevada, and the people that had come down and started business in California stayed. Those were the smart ones. And then the silver in Nevada only lasted a year or two, and in 1861, they discovered gold up in what was to become North Idaho. And then the next year, they discovered gold in another little settlement just south of there. And then they discovered gold in Idaho City. And it was these three settlements that brought the white man to Idaho. 1863, they discovered gold in the Owyhees. Gold,
okay.
Copper, silver. And this is my little talk.
You're doing great.
It feels like you give these every day, but...
Well, and see, but there weren't any bridges.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
was right in the middle of the Great Civil War.
Okay.
And Lincoln needed all that gold and silver to finance the war. So they put in ferries across the Snake, and there were many, many ferries. But because this one here at Walder's Ferry was the most direct from here into Nampa, and then they had a route onto the Denver Mint.
This is the one that survived.
And in 1863, they built this building. This is the beginning of Idaho, right here in this building.
Betty tells us a bit about the adobe dwelling, the oldest freestanding one left in Idaho, before we head inside to explore one of the many museum exhibits on the property. The first houses floor-to-ceiling glass displays of medical instruments and pharmacy supplies. Some were the property of Dr. Swain, and some were donated by other doctors in the region. Betty tells us about some of the bottles on display behind the glass.
A lot of these bottles were found up in Silver City. I rearranged this. On these are most of the things, and I had a bottle of cocaine, and my brother threw it out. I know he did.
That's the worst.
And it was legal a thing. You could order it. And it was Pennywise Drugstore.
That's awesome.
And then there are a whole bunch of doctor's bags. We always had one in the back of our car. And there's about 10 of them over there, and three of them belonged to our dad. One of them I could remember seeing. And then when the Mercy Hospital, when this iron lung quit working, the sisters called my mother and said, would you like to have this iron lung, you know, because we're going to get rid of it. And she said, oh, I could never afford that. And they said, no, we're going to give it to you and we will deliver it.
Wow.
And when she first got it, it worked. She'd press a button and it would, see what it does is compress the lung so people with polio could breathe.
It was kind of an accordion there then, and it, yeah.
She had at least one woman pass out when she started that because she stuck a model in the end of it. There's this body hanging out of it.
Betty tells us a little more about her stepfather, Dr. Swain, and this collection, which is only open limited hours on the weekends.
So he was a bone doctor. He did hysterectomies. He delivered babies.
Wow.
You name
Very
it.
Very interesting.
He was a doctor in general.
Is this part of the property open during normal hours, or do you just...
Saturdays from 10 to 2, we have volunteers to go staff the building.
We head into the adobe building next, which houses another group of displays, including a long room with paintings and old pictures of the area.
That whole wall is a great depiction of what this place was, what Walker's
doing. Yeah.
There's an Indian off in there, and supposedly the Indian was named Napa, which meant Bigfoot.
Oh.
And his feet supposedly were 20 inches long, and he was an outlaw.
So that's where Nampa got its name.
Yeah.
It was from
Nampa.
I've never heard that before.
I have neither.
We enter a small side room where a group of life-size mannequins in Western garb are frozen in a game of poker. Some of the walls are exposed with old newspaper from the 1880s, leftover insulation that advertises things like Mexican Mustang liniment, Ayers hair vigor, and opium habit cures. The whole effect seems to give LD the creeps for some reason.
We've tried to preserve the building and took off some interior paneling. That they had lined that wall with newspapers, so you get some old...
Oh, these are all the old newspapers.
That's cool. Whew, gives me the heebie-jeebies.
A little bit.
Bruce takes us into another small side room with more mannequins, some baby mannequins this time, where the adobe structure is on display behind a glass wall.
Does that scare you?
A little bit.
So in showing up the walls from the inside, we opened this up so you can see the original adobe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So they made the adobe brick out of clay and mud and sand and baked it. And then they put a kind of a slurry in between to help hold it together. But that's how an adobe wall is built. And so this is original 1863 adobe.
Wow.
Bruce tells us a little more about the adobe construction, including some places where his grandson's Eagle Scout troop, with the help of an expert visiting from the Southwest, made their own adobe to repair some of the structure. Then it's a quick freak out from LD.
These are the things that nightmares are made out of, especially the short one.
That what?
Nightmare.
Before we head to the chapel, another small stone building with soft red carpet, stained glass windows, and a pump organ near the pulpit.
So this is a little chapel that our parents built.
Yeah.
It's a non-denominational but chapel. I think part of the motive was they gathered antiques in their retirement years. Started with clocks, but you know, when you go to an antique store, so Mother began to find windows that would have come out of a church and other things, and so they thought, well, let's incorporate that into a chapel. So without giving you a long family history, both of them were widowed. Dr. Swain had five daughters, and Mrs. Swain had two children when their wife and husband died. So when they got together, they made a family, put us all together, and added me. And
in case you missed that, Bruce says, so when they got together, and Betty chimes in, we got Bruce. Bruce next places many of the things on display in context of his mother's original intention.
Part of what you see as we walk the nature trail, there'll be a lot of things little kids like, and they're a fantasy. But up on the hill are some crosses, and then you'll see some other religious things which weren't here originally. But one time in giving her tours here in the building, Mother would tell the story of the history like Betty did. But as a very religious lady, she said, you know, she enjoyed her little chapel and that Jesus Christ was very important to her. No sermon, but she always said he was very important. Well, one day she got feedback from one of the teachers that had brought busloads for years and reported that a little fourth grade boy, when they got back to school, said to his teacher, "Who's Jesus?"
Oh.
And the teacher was surprised and Mother was stunned. And while being not preachy in her own way, she resolved that from that day forward, no one would ever visit her site and not know who Jesus was.
We head out on the nature trail, but not before we convince LD with a whole lot of cajoling to take a seat at the pump organ and play us a tune.
Oh, I can play Frosty.
You have to pump while you're doing it.
Oh, do I? Do I have to pump with each note?
No, just put your feet down and just keep pumping.
Both feet? Just
pump. Both feet.
Like a bike?
Then go left, right, left, right.
Good.
Oh.
Keep pumping.
Oh. Shit, this is
That squeaking you hear is the mic rubbing against my legs as I attempt to pump and play the organ at the same time, which is a lot harder than you'd think. Next, we head out to explore the nature trail portion of the site. But first, a note. We unfortunately had a pretty big technical issue where we lost the majority of the audio from the nature walk. When we discovered it, after we stopped crying, we reached out to Bruce and he agreed to meet us again and walk the trail. And Rachel and the kiddos, bless them, agreed to do the same. Betty and Daniel didn't join for this round as it was quite a bit hotter outside.
So years ago, when Mother was doing tours for fourth graders studying Idaho history.
Yeah.
Why, none of this was out here. You could walk along the river and the trees, but mostly the buildings were what they came to. And so in all those years, the fourth graders knew they were coming to Walter's Ferry to see Cleo's Ferry Museum. That's what it had been known as for a long time. When Dr. Swain died in 1976 after 30 years of marriage, why then she spent the last 30 years of her life doing the trail.
Okay.
And adding figurines, and probably there isn't an antique magazine published that she didn't read, or Fairyland stuff. And so then it this part became known as Cleo's Nature Trail.
Oh. We're walking along a crushed gravel path, which you can obviously hear in the background, lined with juniper, Russian olive trees, and every 20 or so feet, collections of little statues and figurines grouped in a variety of scenes. There are cherubs and animals, children at play, Humpty Dumpty, and there are birdhouses with signs beneath them, all with short, positive messages. A few of my favorites: love has no door, expect a good time, the peacocks are calling you, and one that simply says, alive, alert, awake, complete with exclamation points. There are probably 100 of these birdhouses and 100 of these signs throughout the property.
And so as you look at the sign, virtually there isn't a sign anywhere that isn't intended to be, you know, encouraging, uplifting. We as a family have always enjoyed the site as a place of peace and respite from the world. Dr. Swain, of course, practiced medicine in the days pre-cell phone. And so one of his biggest delights was that out here there was no telephone service.
Oh, okay.
So he could come and actually knew it was going to be a few hours of peace.
Yeah.
No one could reach him.
I think it's funny because all of a sudden you see a rocket ship and then all of a sudden you see a rhino. Like, what two things of those go together?
I mean, they do both start with the letter R.
Yeah.
So maybe there's that.
A
such Mark Twain's scorching hot today.
I was just going to be like,
all overdressed.
Go sit by, and then I was like, nope.
Yeah, this is going to be hot.
Clearly overdressed.
A little bit.
Maybe if I had pants on.
Say, at least Shakespeare and Franklin are wearing knickers, so, I mean, those woolen stockings are warm, but...
I was going to say, yeah. And it's funny, of course, different people, as you indicated, would see different things, focus on different things. Some folks would come back and say, oh, Mrs. Swain, I had the most wonderful time seeing your statues. I like the five famous people there. They were inspirational to me. Others would come back and say, well, did you know that there's bird poop on Albert Einstein? And they say, well, okay, you know, we can't keep up with constant maintenance 24/7. We try and keep it nice.
Okay, but just to be clear here, we're passing by five bronze statues sitting on their own bronze benches. Mark Twain, Ben Franklin, Abraham Lincoln, Albert Einstein, and William Shakespeare. Cleo apparently saw them in a magazine and had to have them. This is the first in a series of life-size statues all set in separate scenes.
Does this light up? And we should probably know, just since we didn't get it last time, at least for you and I, Joel, for like a studio note, what we're walking past right now, these huge concrete slabs.
Right, yeah,
of
these concrete slabs with individual scenes on them.
Scenes of, like, statue sculpture.
Bronze yeah. statues, right. And the first one's a parade.
Yeah.
With, yeah, about a dozen figurines, or more, actually, 15, maybe. And then the second one's a baseball game. And then the third one is, like, a playground.
We next dip into a trail under the trees with a spring-fed brook next to the path. It's about 15 degrees cooler and a welcome respite from the heat.
What is that?
That's a gargoyle.
So did you guys see the cow head sticking up over here? Now, isn't that an ugly cow head?
I like it. He's just peeking.
It was that kind of thing that used to drive my brother nuts. Mom would come up with something and say, Mother, you have such lovely figurines. I mean, really quality stuff. And then you stick a cow head up on a piece of pipe?
In the middle of a juniper bush?
Yeah.
You know, it's the variety, though, that yeah. makes it.
Yeah. I like that you can just see one little birdhouse right there.
And then you can see birdhouse.
You so. Want to see
it's
it?
Cute.
So now the big question of the day is, are you going to run to the top of the hill again?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
I like it.
You going to go up?
I can go up.
You got flip-flops on. You think you can do it?
I haven't gotten any dirt in my flip-flops.
We don't have to do that if you don't want
to. I'm going to take a rain check today, yeah. but if you want to go, you're always welcome.
If we're going up there, give us the tour.
Right. So a couple of my grandsons did their Eagle Scout projects, and they carved a trail up the side of the mountain. And when you get up to the top of the ridge, why, they've got some benches where you can sit and get a classic view of the Iwakis. It's really quite stunning.
We can vouch for that. Yeah.
We can.
Because it's something you want to do preferably earlier in the morning or in the evening, not in the middle of the afternoon.
Quick note here, we did venture up this path on our first outing and enjoyed the view. Also, Betty, who's just coming up on 80 years old, hiked up the trail for the first time. Next, we pass by a line of very expressive and kind of scary carved faces, each representing one of the seven deadly sins, which Rachel lists off.
Envy, pride, anger, gluttony, sloth, greed,
and so I talked about Mother always reading magazines and so forth, and so she was reading in an antique magazine somewhere, and apparently these figures, it describes it, a 100-year-old antique artifact. It was in a church somewhere in Europe, and so she thought, oh, I'd love to have that. And, you know, the family again says, Mother, why would you put the seven deadly sins in the middle of a fantasy land? We want to talk about good stuff.
Oh, I'd love to have that.
Yeah. She says, no, I like it. And that really was the only explanation.
Do you guys ever have someone donate something that they just feel like a yard statue that would just be perfect for the area? Like,
oh, I think early on, probably some. We obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but we've gotten so many offers that at this point in time we're saying thank you. We probably have all we can handle.
We're good.
So, looks like we're coming across the Swain Family Cemetery.
Yes.
Is it really what it says it is?
It is. It's a private cemetery. My parents had each lost their own spouse, who were each buried in a different place. But they wanted to be together, and so they just marked out a portion of the land. The entire land's in a trust, and then this is set aside as a family cemetery. Currently, Dr. Swain and Cleo Swain, my parents, are there. On the far left is my brother Dan. On the far right is my oldest son, who died at age 10. And then we laughed last time about Aunt Betty already put up her own marker there.
We should note there is no end date. Yeah,
right,
the important part.
Yeah, no end date. She laughed because actually the tradition, if you will, was started by my mother, Cleo Swain. She was looking around. She says, "You know, I don't know what you'd put on my headstone, so I'm gonna do it."
So don't leave that to chance.
She picked out her name and she wrote on there, "I love you," and just wanted that to be her message. And so when she finally passed away, why we put the end date on.
But, oh, that's nice. I
but
like
really,
that.
It's the concept of family.
Yeah.
And it's a blended family, but they wanted it to be together, and so that's what it is.
Next, we pop down into the Garden of Prayer, a little shaded area with a tiny pond, benches, and a whole series of angel statues. And wouldn't you know it, we run into a YKTP listener.
You guys are the You Know the Prayer
Yeah.
guys.
Yeah.
You're famous in my car.
Oh, good.
This is Melissa, by the way, who tells us a bit about what Cleo's means to her.
This is a magical place. This truly is a blessing to me. Every time I come, it's just like obviously put together with great love and respect. And loving the earth and loving God and nature. I'm part of a group of women that are non-denominational in any faith at all, but basically a Native American intent, loving the earth, loving the sky, appreciating all of nature. And so I told my teacher, she is a shaman, and I told my teacher that we should do a class out here if they would let us just come out on a day that there's like 10 of us. And just come out and enjoy the peace and serenity and the magic.
You can come anytime.
Thank
you're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
That's why we do this. It's clearly non-denominational. It's a place of peace.
It's great energy everywhere we walk.
We thank Melissa for chatting with us and move on down the trail. Our next stop was built as an homage to Christ's tomb, built right into the side of the hill. Inside, the walls are lined with mussel shells and different kinds of rock from the area, which obviously Joel is taken with.
So there's obsidian.
Kind of smells like the ocean, now that you mentioned mussels.
Some obsidian, there's shells, and this is jasper, right?
Let's see, Joel.
I think this is jasper, isn't it?
I hope you're not looking for confirmation from me.
We pass by another path leading up the hill, which we did climb up the first time. At the top, there's a broom closet-sized prayer chapel with an altar and a big window looking up at the three crosses further up the hill. Then we finish the last bit of the trail, which is actually part of the old highway, and end up back at the stone buildings in a courtyard area with more statues. And Bruce explains his mother's choice of all the disparate statues, figurines, and other collections.
Well, that's how we got everything. She liked it. You know, some people will used to come out and come through her museum, quote-unquote. And they'd say, "Well, Mrs. Swain, you don't have tags on all these things. We don't know how old they are. Why did you get them for your collection?" I liked them. She was a collector, not a museum curator.
We thank Bruce for guiding us, a second time no less, and assure him we'll be back soon. Then we take a last look at the peacocks and donkeys and say goodbye to Rachel, Alma, Jasper, and Ira before debriefing in the car.
So,
I felt like, at a certain point, I felt overwhelmed. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all. There was just so much to see and so much to take in, you know?
Yeah, and like, especially after we did that first hike up, it was like, okay, we're probably near the end.
Mm-hmm.
We come around a bend and there's another thing. And it's not just like a couple statues here and there. It is like these landscaped or man-made structures
mm-hmm.
or little oases
mm-hmm.
that would have taken a lot of time
yeah.
and probably money to put together.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of thing that you could see somebody pouring themselves into, but I would think of that person to be like an eccentric who doesn't have a lot of other outlets or connections in life. But it seems like Cleo, I mean, she had a family.
Mm-hmm.
A growing,
seemed very social.
But, yeah. And still had time. I mean, obviously this was a passion of hers, but I mean, it just makes it that much more incredible.
Yeah.
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 We're both just kind of like a little in awe,
yeah.
a little tired.
Yeah.
And the kids were great.
Yeah, they were.
They
well,
really
they were,
were
just so excited, I think, throughout the whole thing.
Well,
so.
And this is like their third time here.
Yeah.
And to still get excited and to almost be like mini tour guides, I think that speaks volumes for this place. And
yeah.
especially if that's what she intended it to be, especially for kids. Well, job well done.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
Well,
take a break and then work our way back.
Yeah. Water break.
Water break.
All right.
LD, do you know what's going on with the removal of the Carter overpass between Nampa and Caldwell?
Yeah, the Idaho Transportation Department is replacing the overpass to allow additional lanes to be built on I-84.
So that's like common knowledge?
Yep.
Where are you reading this from?
I'm not reading anything. I just learned it from ITD's new podcast, Drive Idaho.
I did not know that existed.
Yeah, no kidding. Drive Idaho is a podcast devoted to providing news and information about road projects right here in the Treasure Valley.
So where do I find this podcast?
Oh, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm subscribing right now.
It's about time.
So, back in the air-conditioned studio.
Yeah, it got a little warm out there.
Yeah, both days.
First kind of impression?
It was difficult to include everything about this place. Impossible, I guess I should probably say. I wanted to include so much more of the little stories, the backstories, nooks and crannies of the place that we explored. It felt like Narnia, but we obviously have to balance talking about a place and then the letting the place and the people talk for themselves and then encouraging listeners to go and check it out.
Then you'll understand.
Right. What about you?
At least on the surface, for me, everything was perfectly quirky, and I may have said this, but...
Hashtag perfectly quirky.
That's okay. A good hashtag. Like the fact that there are peacocks.
Yeah.
There's not chickens, they're peacocks.
Yeah.
And there's not, like, horses over on the side, they're donkeys.
There's donkeys.
You know, it's just, like, everything's just a little to the left of center, and
right.
It's perfect. But I think to some people, at first glance, or maybe on your first walk, things will seem random, maybe kitschy to some.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're like, I don't get it. What's the point? But even if that's your frame of mind and we can't convince you otherwise, just start taking account of the sheer number of things.
Mm-hmm.
Birdhouses, sculptures, figurines. Now start considering like the man-made things like the tomb and the prayer chapel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that alone is a lot of stuff.
It is.
And to think that this family did that on their own... Tell me that doesn't leave you feeling a little awe-inspired.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't all make sense to you, just the sheer amount of stuff.
Right. There is such an odd, disparate collection of things here, and it is pretty awe-inspiring.
So what about your central concern then?
Yeah, I guess my central concern really was, what's the theme here? It's partly religious. It's partly non-denominational positivity.
Yeah.
And partly just whimsy. You know, Bruce talks about really getting out of it what you bring to it. He talked about that multiple times. So if you're looking at it for a Christian or a Judeo-Christian perspective or experience, you'll get that. If it's just a positive experience, you'll get that. And if you're drawn to fantasy and fun, and that's funny that you use this word too, but even a bit of kitsch, you'll certainly get that too. Again, Bruce said that more than once. And another thing that he said was that his mother, when Cleo was asked about this thing or that thing, like, why did you include this or that? She'd say, because I like it.
Yeah. I was thinking we need to get a photo of Cleo and then, like, make her into a logo for us.
Yeah.
And or, like, get her tattooed on your other butt cheek or something because she's kind of – it's the moniker of this podcast, you know, just because or why not.
It is a very why not
attitude.
And we've come across these places before, and I think we're drawn to them, and I think people are certain people are drawn to them. And it's funny that that could be the key to some of these places' longevity.
I want her to be our mascot.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll ask if that's okay.
Cleo's kind of our spirit, spirit animal.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I love that her name's Cleo.
I know. Final takeaway?
I hate to bring it up again.
Okay.
But the fact that we had to go back. Okay, we were super brokenhearted. It was a freaking technical issue, and we tried as we might, and we asked some engineers, and we couldn't retrieve the audio, and we were stinking sad.
Yeah, it was hard.
I had, like, a pity party later that day at home because it was just such a great experience, and those are some fine people, very genuine people, and it was like, even if they agree to go back, there's no way we can recreate it.
Right.
And we couldn't, but... I think it was kind of a blessing in disguise that we had to go back a second time. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful that Bruce and also Rachel and her kids could join us again because, yeah. you know, we definitely were able to recreate some of that environment that we experienced in the first place. But it was a blessing in disguise in the fact that it was 3 days later, to be clear, that we yeah. went back. So within the same week, and we still had moments of discovery.
Absolutely.
We still saw things that we did not see. We learned things that we hadn't heard before. Mm-hmm. And we pointed things out to each other. We had new favorites this time around. It's like, how many times would you have to go to this place right. before you really felt like, yep, I've seen it all? What about you?
My final takeaway really is that I cannot encourage all you listeners to go and explore it. I cannot encourage you enough to go and explore it for yourself.
I was like, you can't?
I can't tell you to do this. You shouldn't. No, I can't encourage you enough to go explore it for yourself because there's so much there. And so we're trying to kind of paint a picture over and over and over again. And really, I guess all those things should add up to go see it for yourself.
Yeah.
And if you have the time, you know, go on a Saturday between 10 and 2 and see some of
the buildings.
See some of the buildings and the inside family. Of the buildings and the collections and the family if they're there.
Yeah. They're usually the ones staffing it.
Yeah.
It felt like a very appropriate final chapter to season 3.
Yeah, I think so too. Should we say anything about season 4?
I guess the only thing we've got left, bloopers. It's like a surprise every time I say it.
Jeez. Every time I'm surprised, I'm like, you're collecting these things?
Oh, yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Gold mine.
Okay, all right.
We're recording.
Hello and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores the... Do I say show? Or do I say podcast?
You always
say show.
Show,
right? Okay, all right.
One of the New Kids on the Block guys was there when he was in town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so wow. If he's going there, we don't want to go there.
Yeah, if the New Kids on the Block have discovered it, you know it's way too popular.
Yeah.
Do you see? Do you see what I'm wearing?
Soccer girl.
Yeah. Where are my socks? Oh my birthday socks.
Soccer girl. Soccer sock girl.
After Pogs and Beanie Babies became very yeah. popular, and there was a joke of what do they stuff Beanie Babies with? They stuff them with shredded Pogs.
It was just cuddled. So, oh, don't you know?
Okay, try not to move a lot. We have squishy coats.
No, I know.
We'll take them off.
Yeah, and yeah. then just pouring Skittles down your throat. Just
mostly about why the Patriots suck. Collie, you're on. Yeah, that's also why they suck. But let's come up with some new ways. What are some new ways that New England sucks?
Never heard that accent out of you. Pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Pause for dramatic effect.
The younger guy in there, he was like, oh, I listen to your podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio. Our music is James Dean Kindle and the Eastern Oregon Playboys. Our website is youknowtheplacepodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at You Know the Place. Season 3 was made possible in part by Mid-Century Homes by Monica Real Estate and the Drive Idaho podcast from the Idaho Transportation Department.
Tenderoms reach out to me.